The theme or emphasis for this month, all of this year, we have focused on believing to see good. And this month, the emphasis is believing to see good coming to me. I don't really know a whole lot about this minister's ministry, I think his name is Leroy Thompson. I remember watching him from time to time on television, and Leroy Thompson became really, really well known in the Christian circles when he would inspire his people and people even in the house of God where he was ministering, and he would say, "Money cometh to me now." Glory to God. Even if you don't have much confidence in that as a word of faith, glory to God, I think you still want money to come to you now. I believe every one of us would love to have money coming to us now. And it's so inspiring for believers and so needful for believers to have great expectation, to believe that good will come to you. What will come to you?
Good.
That good will come to you. Because see, sometimes we can go through things and go through life with such difficulties until we began to actually believe that, it's just not working for me, or things are just not going to come together for me, or I really cannot really have confidence that things are going to be well for me. But every child of God should absolutely begin to press spiritually, press in your faith, press in your confidence, believing that good things are actually coming to you. We are part of a generation where even this political climate, the political climate is actually, in my opinion, our political climate is kind of schizophrenic. You've got, some people on one side saying it's really bad, and on another side saying, well, things are really going good. And then you got on one side saying, if I get into office, I'm going to really make good come. And the other one saying, if I get into office, I'm going to really make goods come. And then the other one saying about the other one, if that one get into office, nothing good is going to come from that one. And they're pointing the fingers, glory to God, at one another. But I believe this with all of my heart, that believers ought to be pointing their finger at God and saying, Lord, you are in charge of our lives, and we are not dependent on these schizophrenic messages to give us confidence. Our confidence is not in man. Our confidence is in who? Is in God. Our trust is in God. Our confidence in God. We believe God for good. We believe God for things to come together. We believe God. And some months ago, I heard, I don't know if it was a song or how it came about, but it was just an inspiring thing, that things are not falling apart. they are falling into place. Glory to God. And when you are believing to see good, that must be a part of your confidence. I am believing that things are falling into place. I believe that good is coming. I'm not only believing to see good, I believe to see good coming to me. You got your finger in Hebrews chapter 4, but before we read that, turn to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. And I want to begin at verse 21. If you don't know this passage of scripture, mark it in your Bible. Make a note of it. Put a post-it there. Because from time to time, you need to go back to it and read it. And read it. And reread it. And raise your faith confidence. This word from the Lord actually was a good word from a friend of Job. Now, were things going bad with Job at this time? The answer is a resounding yes. They were not only going bad, they were going real bad for Job. Things were just terrible in his life. It was disaster on top of disaster on top of disaster. It was so bad that one speaker couldn't get the word out about how bad it was before there was someone else coming saying, it's real bad. And before that one could finish, someone else was walking in saying, it was real bad. And then not only were things falling apart and falling into disaster around him, even his body began to experience disaster. And remember Job's words many times. He says, you know, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And remember Job's word was, if a man die, shall he live again. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait for my change to come. And there was a good friend of Job that gave to him a word, and it is a word that every one of us ought to just actually use it and let it bless our lives. Look at this. He says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. And thereby what? Good shall do what? Good shall come to thee. As bad as it was, as terrible as it was, as sick as his body was, as abandoned as he was by his wife. Amen. This friend told him, just get acquainted with God and be at peace. Now, that's a powerful word there. Get acquainted with God and be at peace. You know, I think sometimes when when we get to run into trouble, sometimes we begin to see if we can replace trouble with people, connections, relationships. But I'll say to any person, if you want to muddy the water, start trying to connect it to people. Start trying to connect it to another relationship and other relationships. When you are going through a storm, don't add a storm. When you're going through trouble, don't add trouble. Amen. When so much is going out that you're needing every ounce of strength and vitality that you have in order to maintain your level, don't add on something else that will start draining and start depleting and start pulling on you. Stay the course. Stay the course with making God first. The Bible says, you know that scripture over there in the book of Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness and what? All these things. In other words, good shall come to thee. All these things will be added unto you. So here is the believer's a place where we should begin to operate in. Be acquainted with God, raise our acquaintance with God, do everything we can to just get to know him, to know him, to know him. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering so that I can be made conformable unto his death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, good will come. You be at peace. You be at peace. Don't you worry about a thing. You be at peace. And good will come to you. Good will do what? What a powerful word. What a powerful faith word. I don't have to go get good. Good's coming to me. Glory to God. If I just acquaint myself with him and be at peace, good thereby, by those two things, look at that, thereby, acquaintance with God and being at peace, thereby, good shall do what? Shall come to thee. Well, look at the rest of it. This is just as good as that first verse. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. That's good coming to you. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles, and that's real good. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust. I don't know what that's like, but God knows I won't experience it. You know, I just wipe my hand. Okay, that's gold. Gold like dust. Amen. Glory to God. You may not have dirt everywhere, but you got dust everywhere. Glory to God. You'll lay up, good God from on side. Hallelujah. Lay up gold as dust and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. He's telling him, I know you're depleted now, but if you acquaint yourself with him, good's coming to you. And the good that's coming to you, all of the loss you have, you're going to get it replenished. Can you count stones in the brook? If you can't count the stones in the brook, you're not going to be able to count how many ways God blesses your life. Good's coming to you. I'm going to tell you something here. I'm going to put this in here. You need friends like this. Amen. Yea, and the Almighty shall be thy defense. That's good coming to you. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. That's really good coming to you. Hallelujah. But then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty and lift up thy face unto God. That's good coming to you. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. That's good coming unto you. Look at the next verse. And thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. That's good coming to you. And not only will good come to you, look at how this good will spill out of you and bless others. He says, when men are cast down, that's that next verse. When men are what? Cast down, thou shalt say, there is lifting up. Glory to God. And he shall save the humble person. Glory to God. Good will come to you. Good will come to you. Good will come to you. Now I'm going to take us back to Hebrews chapter 4. Praise God. Start at verse 1. Let's start there. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. God has good in our future. He has good in our present, but he also has good in our future. And every time you hear the word promise, every time you see that word in the Word of God, always understand that's God's positive word about my future. Because a promise may affect now, but a promise is more about my future than it is about my present. Let us therefore fear. Now, this word fear is not a word that actually is talking about us being afraid of God. This word is really more about us knowing God, understanding God, and actually having an appreciation for God and his place and his purpose in our lives. That we truly have a good understanding, a balanced understanding of what it is to be anointed of God. To have the hand of God upon us for good. Hallelujah. I don't really have time and I don't want to get detoured. And when the Lord directs me to really talk about that, I'm going to be talking about that. You know, there's so much confusion now around the word anointing and being anointed that, you know, people are talking about, you know, can you be saved and anointed? And can you not be saved and anointed? Can you be holy and anointed or not holy and anointed? And all of those kind of questions. But I think that if we look into the Word of God, the best explanation of what it is to be anointed is to be set apart, consecrated, and made exclusively available to God. And that is not something, and you got to understand it like this when you start talking about anointing. In the temple, they took vessels and they anointed those vessels or those objects and they placed them in the temple. So the best way to understand anointing is not how is this thing being used. The best way to understand anointing is how was it set up? How did this thing have its beginning? What was the initiation like? What else is it being used for? Because in the scriptures, the best way to understand anointing is to understand the natural side of anointed. How vessels in the temple were anointed to even better understand how we as a New Testament vessel are anointed. And when you look at those vessels, if those vessels got moved out of their place in the temple and they began to be used for some unconsecrated purpose, they were no longer anointed. Because then you had removed its consecration. It's being set apart, being set aside. And so they had to go through the whole cleansing process and be made available and set apart exclusively again. I got more to deal with that. I want to get stuck there. But I want to tell you that while there's so much confusion about things like being anointed, it is important for believers to understand that God has a place for my life and God wants me to walk in reverence and fear of him all my life, not just so I can get up and be used and be an instrument of God at some point in time. God wants me to be available, so available to him that when I'm not being used, I am only available and exclusively at his use. That is the fear of God. That's what it is to walk in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. He's telling them, you can have a promise and miss it. You can have a promise and not get it. You can have a promise and not reach it. Glory to God. So there's a promise of us entering into the rest of God. And this word about rest is so important here. And as we continue to read through this, we'll see its relevance to us even in this day and in this time. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not what? Did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Sometimes believers get it in their minds that if I fix this and I fix that, everything's going to be all right. And then when we look at it a little time afterward and we don't get that everything is actually all right, there's confusion, there's a sense of hopelessness, and sometimes, what else do I need to do? How else do I need to handle this? What do I need to fix? I have come to believe this with all my heart, and I know that the word of God substantiated, and I want to make sure that as I minister the word that I greatly convey this, and that is that when it comes down to your walk with God, when it comes down to the place that God has in your life, if you are experiencing things that are going in the wrong direction, for example, I'm supposed to be doing this for God, but I'm not doing this for God. And so, I'm going to go on and I made up my mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this done. And the thing that I have learned that when there is some evidence of us falling short or there's some disobedience, it is not the problem, it is a symptom of the problem. It's not the issue, it's the what? The symptom of the issue. The word of God was preached to them. Those in Paul's day when he wrote this, and those in the years and the maybe even the centuries before that Paul says, they got the word too. But the word didn't profit them. Here's what God wants us to understand. If good is coming to me, that means the word of God has to profit me. It's got to be effective. It's got to do me good. It's got to not leave me in an inferior place, but in a promoted place. The word did not profit them. Why? Because they didn't mix the word with faith. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then he explained what that faith is about. He that cometh to God must, number one, believe that he is. Number two, believe that he is a rewarder of them. Rewarder, good's coming to me. Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Every child of God should press in to make his or her walk with God the kind of walk that everything that I hear about God, I'm mixing it with confidence in God and in his word. Every time I hear the word, when you are in this particular place and you hear the word of God taught, you hear the word of God preached, you hear someone ministering the word of God, don't just take it as a good message. Take it as a word of faith, a word of confidence, because I've got to not just hear it, I got to mix it with my confidence in God. It's not just a verse, it's not just a scripture, but it is a part of giving direction to my confidence. Give direction to your confidence. Mix it with faith. Do what? Mix it with faith. Do what now? Mix it with faith. Don't just hear the word. Mix it with faith. Don't just get the CD. Mix it with faith. What is mixing it with faith? It is, first of all, expectation. Believing that good's coming. Believing that God's promises are for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Believing that God loves me. Believing that God has good in store for me. Hallelujah. And not letting your tongue betray you. Because sometimes, and it just happened with believers, sometimes when things get really, really, really bad, the first thing we start doing is dismantling our hope with this tongue. Taking it down. Just like a person with a drill, taking the screws loose. Don't let your tongue dismantle your confidence in God. Don't let your tongue dismantle your expectation. Glory to God. You have prayed and you have believed God and you have received his word, and his word says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Don't get so upset that you begin to say, they're gonna destroy me. They're gonna destroy me. Because faith is not saying that. Who is he that will harm you, you followers of what's good? That's a word of faith. That's a word from the Lord. But you got to mix it with faith. Mix it with confidence. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I've had conversations over the years with people specifically that relates to tithing. And sometimes, they get into a real crunch and things are just not coming together. And they begin to say, you know, I'm just cursed. I knew I was supposed to be tithing and I didn't do it. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And help me, help me, help me. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but just help me. Well, see, number one, you may start tithing, but you're not mixing it with faith. Because when you start tithing, the way you mix it with faith, you already know how you're going to make it. How do you know how you're going to make it? You're going to make it through obedience. You're going to make it because you're doing what God says. You're going to make it because you are obeying the word of God. And the promises of God are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. Glory to God. The promises of God are yes and amen. Because not tithing is really not a problem. It is a symptom of a problem. Tithing is a symptom of confidence in God. Not tithing is a symptom of the lack of confidence in God. Because when I have confidence in God, I understand that I will honor the Lord. I will honor the Lord. I will honor, are you hearing me tonight? I will honor the Lord with my substance. And not only with my substance, I'm going to take it off the top, the first fruit of mine increase. And God says, my barns will overflow with plenty. 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 Mix it with faith. And what's going to happen? Good's coming. Mix it with faith. I obey the word. And my confidence is that God will not let his word fall to the ground. And what he has promised, he's able to perform it. Amen. Let's keep going. What's the next part of this? For we, are we together? Which have believed, do what? We which have believed, do enter into what?
Rest.
We do what? We enter into rest. Faith in God is confidence in his word. Let's look at it like this. When you get off track with God, and things are really out of order, first thing you need is you need God to help you get back on track. That's what faith does. It gets you back on track. Now that I am on track, I need the power of God, the hand of God, to keep moving me forward. That's why the Bible deals with belief and ties it to power. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll do this, they'll do that. Because believing God is attaching to the power of God. Faith in God is having confidence in what he said, confidence in his word. But believing is attaching to the power engine. Because when I get on the track, I am powerless. But if I'm connected to the power source, he pulls me forward. He pulls me forward. He does what? Pulls me forward. Here's the best way to understand rest. We which do believe do enter into rest. I'm on track, and just like the box car, when you think about a train, there's only one thing on that track that has power. Everything else is tied to that power. Everything else is connected to that power. Faith gets me on the right track, gets me on the track where there is an engine. But entering into rest is I connect to the engine of God, the engine of his power, the engine of his word, and rest is he pulls me forward. He pulls me forward. He pulls me forward. What is it the boxcar has to do? Its assignment is to make sure that there is no resistance coming from it. The brakes are not on. Glory to God. Nothing in it is holding it back. And resisting the pull of the main engine. I'm trying to tell you that God wants to do so much in our lives, but he understands that, number one, he can't pull us if we're off the track. Got to get us on track, faith track. Get us connected to him. Thank God for good engineers. The Holy Ghost engineer. Thank God, hallelujah, for the good caboose manager. Thank God for the power of God and the hand of God and the instruments of God that connects us. But once we are connected, we which do believe do enter into what? Rest. The little bit that I understand about trains, and I think it's a good illustration, is there is a cable that connects and daisy chain them together so that some kind of way, when it's time to stop, that some kind of signal or something goes to each one of the boxes to let them know, put your brakes on. But they don't create the signal. They just respond to it. Hallelujah. Don't you hear the Lord talking to you? They don't create it. They just do what?
Respond.
They just respond to it. Rest is, I don't have to know when it's time to slow down. As long as I'm connected to the right engine, it's his job to say stop. It's his job to say release yourself so I can pull you forward. It's his job to say release yourself so I can back you up. Say, so why would he back me up? Well, number one, I want you to understand this about God. He's got to deal with more than you. Oh, my Lord. He's got to deal with more than you. And sometimes when God may be backing you up, it is not because he wants to leave you there. He's got somebody else he needs to deal with. He's got some other thing that he's got to address. But you are connected. Because we are part of the body of Christ, we are connected. But know this, glory to God, it doesn't matter what God moves me forward or moves me backwards and what he does. Because see, sometimes God does us just like, and we are connected to people and we're wondering, why is it, you know, I thought they were so connected. I thought they were right there and looked like we backed up and then they got left. They got left behind. Well, that's because that was their destiny. You just stay connected because he's going to pull you forward again. Why? Because he's getting you to your own destination. Shalalaboshe. I said he's getting you to your own destination. Your only assignment is to do the resting part. Lift your hands and say, Lord, help me to rest. Lord, help me to rest. Help me to not resist your pulls and your tug. Help me to understand and appreciate when you're moving me forward, when you're moving me backwards. And no wonder, no matter which way you're going, my steps are order of the Lord and my life is in your hands. Lord, I release myself. I yield myself. Hallelujah. I do that because I believe. They that do believe, the one that do believe, they enter into what?
Rest.
They enter into rest. They enter into rest. He says, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He says, believing helps you to enter into rest. Believing helps you to enter into rest. Believing makes you enter into rest. Child of God, believe so you can enter into rest. Keep your confidence high so you can enter into rest. And God says concerning some of them who did not mix faith with the word they heard, he says they're not going to enter into this rest. They're not going to enter into this rest. They're going to miss the rest. You know what the Lord, I'm back to my train illustration. I may have to finish this up Sunday. We'll see how the Lord directs. There are derailed people. When they get derailed, others can get derailed with them. They mess up the flow of things. And I hear what God says about them. He says, some derailed, they have to be disconnected while the others are going to be put back on the track. And this one is left for the salvage pickup. Paul says about himself, he said, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself will be a castaway. He says, I don't want to be left. Because see, when you get derailed like that, you're not at your destination. And derailed things have broken stuff on it. And things that don't get put back on the track sometime are just headed for the salvage yard. But those of us who remain yielded to God and agile to God, God says, I've already finished the work. Glory to God. I already finished the work. Got it right. Got things in place. All you need to do is yield. Oh, God, help us. Is do what?
Yield.
Yield to him. Let him carry you. The work is, it is not up to the box car to determine where it's going or to even chart its course. It is up to the one who is the engineer driving the power source. He'll get us where we got to go. He has already finished the work. The work is making the plans. The work is setting things into motion. That's the work. And God finished that before, but from the foundation of the world. Look at that next verse. Look at that next verse. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. He says, and for he spake in a certain place of the what?
Seventh.
The seventh day on this wise, that God did what?
Rest
from the on the seventh day from what? From all his works. That train thing sure is a good illustration. God puts you on track. And once the momentum is up, all that the train has to do is just keep rolling. You've heard maybe some of those advertisements about how little fuel that some of these trains can actually use, and it can carry so many box cars and get them for a long distance, 100 miles on a certain, you know, a little bit of fuel. It's because it's not depending on the fuel, it's dependent on the weight and the momentum. And there's a weight of glory on your life that God intends for it to keep propelling you forward and moving you, because he's already started this work. Another thing to understand about track shows you about this work. A track is not like, you know, going through the wilderness. A track is a set and specific place for hundreds or thousands of miles. This is the path. Walk in it. This is the path. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. God has already made plans. He said, I know the thoughts that I have, the plans I have for you, not plans of evil, but of good, to give you a hope and a future. And God says, I rested on the seventh day from all my works. What did God do? God didn't get out there and just start every day, got to get up, got a little bit more to do. No, God did enough in the days that it's like the track. It's set. It's set. God doesn't have to make the sun come up, and God doesn't have to make the sun go down. He set it into motion. You know what's going to happen to it? Just like he said it, that's what it is to be ordained. To be ordained, the word ordained means to be set in place. And God has ordained things, and he has ordained you. What's that next verse? Fifth verse. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. The next verse. Seeing, therefore, it remaineth that some must do what?
Enter
therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what?
Unbelief.
Because of unbelief. We which do believe, we enter into rest. What is God's assignment for you? Don't be full of anxiety about it. Enter into rest. Glory to God. It'll work for you if you enter into rest. If you're in obedience, but in anxiety, that's not peace, that's not confidence, and it ain't much faith. God says do this, it's up to him to make this work. Glory to God. And I'm believing that he's going to make it work, because I have confidence in him. He's not sponsoring failures. He's sponsoring success. He'll make my way prosperous and give me good success. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm going to give you this, and then we're going to pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The first chapter and the 20th verse. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians. And the 20th verse. Coming up. Look at that. Glory to God. All the promises of God in him are what?
Yay.
Yay. And in him they are what?
Amen.
Amen to the glory of God. How?
By us.
Now, here's the thing I want you to take home with you tonight. I don't have time to really work this, but I just want to give this to you before you leave. The yay is God's part. The amen is our part. Hallelujah. The yay is whose part? God's part. And the amen is
our part.
The old folks had it right when they said, let the church say amen. That was mighty weak. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Let the church say amen. He says this. We're saying amen to the glory of God by us. That's why, child of God, even when you pray, don't ever end your prayer without agreeing with heaven. Because when you say amen, you're saying, God, you said yes, and I agree with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the living word of God. You said that tonight, that this was the night for me to teach about entering into rest. Entering into rest. Entering into rest. Thank you for the promises of God that are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. And we tonight make the decision. We are not going to try to push things around. We have labored, but you told us to stop laboring, trying to fix stuff. Labor to enter into rest. Lord, I make the decision, we make the decision individually, that our work, our effort, our labor is going to be to get on the tracks and get pulled. Yes, Lord. I'm getting on the tracks so I can get pulled. I'm getting on the track so that I can be moving at the leading of the Lord. I'm getting on the track so that you can move me whichever way you want to move me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It's my prayer, for I pray in Jesus' name. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, my. That was food to my soul. Hallelujah. That was food to my soul. Let's prepare to give to the Lord.